In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thinking about this parable today that we hear in the Gospel of the Good Samaritan, it makes things very clear to me in terms of the situation that we find ourselves here in our own lifetimes, that the quantity of mercy is in such short supply. Terrible short supply. I think about this because over the last two or three weeks, as I'm sure all of you know, we've been hearing about one scandal after the other. I mean, there's something new every day about sexual harassment or pedophilia or you just name it. It just seems to be coming out of the woodwork. The can of worms has been opened, and all of these things about all of these famous people are coming to light. And of course they make the news and they talk about these things continuously. And I was thinking though about this the other day in that we are so horribly judgmental about all of these people that we don't even give them the idea as to whether or not perhaps they had even repented of these things. Now, some of them, no doubt, have not. They thought that they had gotten away with it, and that was going to be it. And now it's coming to light all these years later. And indeed, if there were crimes committed and things that were egregiously wrong, they should indeed be held account for these things. But what bothers me more than anything is the sense of judgmentalism and holier-than-thou sort of smearing of people whenever their faults are brought to light. We see it so much. Oh, that person did that. Oh, my gracious, this horrible, evil person. You know, we tend to judge without looking in the mirror, without looking at the sins that we ourselves commit, not having an ounce of compassion for someone who perhaps erred along the way, but yet perhaps had changed over the years. Perhaps this person had done many good things too that somehow could assuage the evil that happened before. Now, this is not to justify any of the things that we've been hearing about. Of course, you know, sexual harassment and all these and worse that we're hearing of in the news these days. And again, it seems like it's every day. It's somebody else. These are serious things. They really are. But at the same time, it's an object lesson for all of us in terms of learning how to forgive and how to encourage forgiveness and how to not judge someone when we ourselves may find that we end up in some kind of weird situation because of something stupid that we did along the way. There is a terrible lack of mercy for anyone these days. We have no sense of compassion, no sense of forgiveness. Now, if you look at the dictionary definition of mercy, it is essentially just those two things, compassion and forgiveness for those whom we have the power to forgive or to harm, it actually says in the definition. Now, how could we have power to harm anyone? Well, we look at the parable that we see today of the Good Samaritan, and we see that there was a man who was beaten to death and left on the road, and the people that walked by him did indeed harm him by their inactivity. Not a good thing. We see a lawyer who is, you know, sometimes I read this parable, and it says a lawyer came to Jesus wishing to test him. And I want to substitute the word reporter because I think it would work just as well. A reporter came to Jesus, wishing to test him, and asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And of course, the Lord gives him the commandments from Deuteronomy and Leviticus and says, "Do this and you will live." But yet, the part about the neighbor, the man pretends to not understand. Well, then who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus wasn't going to take the bait on this one because, of course, in those times, in the community of Israel, the idea of someone being a neighbor that was outside of that community was absolutely forbidden. We wouldn't see anything like that in terms of a neighborliness towards the Samaritans, for instance, which is why Jesus chooses a Samaritan to be the star in this parable. But Jesus doesn't really answer the man. He doesn't say who your neighbor is supposed to be. Instead, he talks about a parable which indicates that not only are we to be aware of who our neighbors might be, but we are to be neighborly towards everyone. In other words, we are to reach out in a neighborly fashion towards anyone who comes to us, anyone at all. In this case, one of the hated Samaritans who actually comes and binds the wound and pours on oil and wine and takes this poor guy to a place and pays for his room and board and says, look, I'm going to come back, and if he needs anything else, I'll reimburse you for it then. That's the absolute essence of being a neighbor. That's the absolute essence of having mercy on someone. I don't know how many of you, probably a lot of you, have seen the movie Schindler's List. Wonderful movie. If you haven't seen it, you certainly should. And you'll know that Ralph Fiennes plays the commandant of one of these Nazi concentration camps. And his favorite sport is waking up early in the morning and going out onto his balcony with his shotgun and taking pot shots at the inmates, just killing them at random. He finds that to be great, great sport. And of course, Schindler, who is the hero of this story and a remarkable man, seeing what is happening and seeing that this young boy who accidentally spilt some food in the presence of the commandant, that could have cost him his life right then and there. Schindler tries to convince the commandant, and he says, well, you know, all the greats, the really great and powerful people in the world, they can achieve more not by punishing, but by pardoning. Saying, I pardon you, or I forgive you. And so the commandant is intrigued by this, and so he says that to several people along the way that do something that we would think is just so insignificant, getting in his way, bumping into him, whatever it might be. And the commandant says, I pardon you, I forgive you. Well, this lasts about 2 hours before he tires of it and then wants to go back to shooting people again. But it shows what Schindler was trying to do to save these people. Schindler, who was a member of the Nazi Party, and was a womanizer, and morally speaking was, you know, probably not much better than some of these people that are popping up in the news all the time now. But yet, he had something within him, something that was, well, that was so moved by what he was seeing in a genocide of a whole people, that he risked his life to save thousands and thousands of these people. And of course, at the very end of the movie, they show what they called Schindler's children. All these folks, thousands of them, who were the children of those that he saved, that were born and lived lives, because he had within himself, despite his other faults, he had within himself a great quantity and quality of mercy that rose up in him and allowed him to do this. Remember when St. Seraphim said, acquire the spirit of peace and thousands around you would be saved? Perhaps this is something that Schindler, in his small way, was partaking of even then, because he listened to his conscience. He listened to that still small voice that was telling him, this is wrong and you've got to do something about it. And then in one of the most moving scenes in the movie, it's as if all of his other sins are wiped away as he falls to his knees when they are finally liberated from the camp and all the Nazis leave and morning comes, and he falls to his knees and says, I could have done more. I could have done more. If I had, you know, if I had taken one more little bit of gold or something, I could have saved one more. That was how strong this man's love was, this man's sense of mercy. And I'm not making him out to be a saint. I have no reason to bestow that appellation upon him. I have no reason to think that he was, because I didn't know him. I didn't know all of his life, and I'm not qualified to make that judgment. But I do know that he set a standard for all of us. And it's the exact same standard that the Lord is showing us in this parable of the Good Samaritan today. The Samaritan did not have to deal with this man who was beaten. The priest, no surprise there, certainly didn't care much about him, walked around him, wasn't going to mess with him. The Levite didn't care anything about him, walked around him. So the man's own house was ignoring him. But yet the Samaritan, the accursed Samaritans, the one who were the heretics of the day, the ones who were intermarrying and coming up with all kinds of weird and distorted doctrines, still found within himself that still small voice that prompted him to go and help this person. That is the quality and quantity of mercy that we are all called to follow. What does the Lord say? We heard it just a few minutes ago in the Beatitudes. What do we have to do? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And the Lord tells us elsewhere that if we do not exercise this gift of mercy to other people, neither shall we have mercy on the day of judgment. That's a very important thing. And I think it's even more important for us as Christians to stand up these days and to be beacons of mercy and hope for a world that spins out of control and that is set on nothing but finding condemnation in everyone. Absolutely everyone. When is the last time during a newscast that you've heard almost anyone say something nice or positive about anyone? Republican, Democrat, Libertarian? It just doesn't happen. The name of the game is to slander, to libel, to assault, to denigrate, to put down, to make someone so horrible that they're not even fit to be a part of the human race. And we're seeing that more and more and more. And the more we do that, the more our own humanity drops out of sight. Because we will be judged, my brothers and sisters, by how we treat the image of our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ, within our brothers and sisters anywhere in the world. That's how we will be judged. The Lord says it himself. We are to look to others because however we treat them, whether it's good or evil or nice and kind or bad and slanderous, we are doing it to the Lord himself. And so it's incumbent upon us, while never offering excuses or in any way countenancing evil amongst us, because we are to resist that and we are to point it out and to say when it's bad. At the same time, the evil in any human being is never completely dominating that person. There is always good there. There is good that has to be coaxed out, that has to be pointed out, that has to be encouraged by all of us in order for us to live simply as the human beings that the Lord wished us to live as. As life goes on, I find today's age very frightening, very cold, very hard, and very non-forgiving. But as Christians, you can't go along with it. As Orthodox Christians, you really can't go along with it. You have to stand up. You have to see good where good is. And you have to be non-judgmental. And you have to have mercy towards everyone. Because you know if you were in a bad situation, whether you had done something wrong or whether you were falsely accused, that you would want to have mercy shown to you. the types of things we are seeing today, the types of accusations against people, whether they're true or false, they stick. And if they're false, it's even worse, because once that type of mud gets slung on you, you're done. You're never coming clean from it. That's just the way it is in the world today. So we've got to be Mr. Cleans and Mrs. Cleans and Miss Cleans to the people of the world today. We have got to show mercy upon even the most wretched, upon even those that we know have done evil, have done wrong. We have got to be kind to them. We've got to show them the same degree of mercy that our Lord Jesus Christ came to earth in order to show us. Because we know that the Good Samaritan in this parable is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the person that he is binding is all of us, because that's why he came to earth, in order to bind our sins and to cleanse us and give us new life. Amen.